Daryl, how are we doing today?
Hello, boys.
We got downtown Daryl tonight. Going to paint the town red from what a little birdie told me.
I do have plans this evening. This
I love downtown Daryl.
Wait, so is this a scenario where Daryl can see us?
Yes, Daryl can see us right now. I think if he's activated it or not. I don't know. Have you activated it? You're there? Yeah.
I can see you both. There's Tweedledee. There's Tweedledum. There you are.
Well, which one's which there? I guess it really doesn't matter, does it?
Well, you're Tweedledee and Nick is Tweedledum.
Good. If
the other Nick was in the chair, he'd still be Tweedledum.
Well, now it just seems hateful, Daryl. You know what? Now scratch it. You're done at 3:20. We're moving you back to 6:00. We're going to ruin your Friday night plans now, okay, Daryl? That's the result of that. How was your day in Berea? What'd you learn?
It was okay. I mean, Myles Garrett is chasing some history on Sunday. We'll see if he can put a... It just seems weird. He's four sacks away, and we're acting like it's no big deal because, well, he's had a five-sack game. He's had a four-sack game this year. We're just acting like, yeah, go out and get four sacks against the Tennessee Titans, set the all-time single-season sack record. No big deal, right? The Titans have given up 48 sacks. Cam Ward has been sacked 48 times, by far the most in the league. But, yeah, we're just acting like this is, you know, another day at the office for Myles Garrett going out and potentially getting himself four sacks on Sunday to set that record.
Well, Daryl, do you think that this is a situation where Sunday, because the Titans are so bad and because Cam Ward is currently pacing to break Caleb Williams' sack record from a season ago, like, do you think that Myles could kind of put the entire thing to rest? And I know he's kind of chasing this number 25 as well in terms of total sacks on the season.
Yeah, I mean, he told us today that that's a number that he put together came up with a couple of years ago is something he wanted to do in a season, which is, all well and good. Certainly has the ability to get there this season. First things first, got to get the record before you start thinking about what you're going to do beyond that number. But, he is, I think, without question, the best defensive player in the game today. And I'm excited to see what he's going to be able to do against the Titans and Cam Ward.
All right, so Daryl, I heard you earlier this morning on with the boys, and you were mentioning how you want Shador to get loose with the game. I agree with that. I want him to be spreading the football around. I do. What are the expectations, though? Put away what you want. What do you think will happen?
I think we're going to see what we've been seeing. I hope not, but... just listening to how he was talking this week about the trust and the reps and all that, I don't think he's there yet. I don't think the comfort level's there yet. So I think, Jonathan, we're going to see basically what we've seen the last couple of weeks from him. I hope I'm wrong. I really do. But it just doesn't sound like he is where he wants to be as far as comfortability throwing in these windows or to these windows that are there. There are plays for him to make. He's just got to go out there and make them. He's got the arm talent to do it. I don't think he has a lot of trust in what he's actually seeing out there, which complicates things for him.
Daryl, do you think if you gave the Browns truth serum, if they would regret the four-man quarterback competition? Because I feel like a lot of what Shador is saying about not having time, not having reps, like, this is all kind of preventable stuff.
Yeah, 100% is preventable, and they ended up being a waste of time, right? One guy didn't make it to the regular season. The other guy didn't make it to the end of October. So, it ultimately ended up being a waste of time, and you set both rookie quarterbacks back, but especially Shador. I don't have a lot of sympathy for Dylan Gabriel because he was getting first team reps in OTAs.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have a lot of sympathy for him. He was getting the opportunity. It's Shador that I have the sympathy for because he wasn't getting the opportunity. And there were times during training camp he was legitimately, literally throwing to the ball boys because they ran out of wide receivers as they were going through the drills with these four quarterbacks. So, at some point he's got to go for it. He's got to let it rip, and he's going to make some mistakes. He's going to throw some picks. Like, that's just, that comes with the territory. But I don't want to see the training wheels on him right now. I want to see what he can do. Your season's lost. Okay, well, you throw some picks, you lose the game. What else is new? Like, you've been doing that for 26 years. What's another loss since 1999? So let's see what this kid's made of.
Do you think this game will impact any status with Kevin Stefanski?
I hard to say. I mean, look, I said it on the morning show today. I don't get the sense that the ownership group wants to make a coaching change or wants to make significant organizational changes. Now, I'm not saying that they are not going to do that. Okay, I want to be very clear. I'm not saying that. It's just they don't seem to have the appetite for it. Now, you lose to a 1-11 Titans team, might force your hand to have to do something here. But I think that, you know, right now, they'd like to just run this back with Stefanski and Barry.
Daryl, whatever happened to smart, tough, and accountable? Just because, like, I've got, you know, now members of
that only applies to Wyatt Teller now, apparently.
Yeah, because, like, dude, I've got members of the coaching staff saying that there's not enough talent on the roster, and that's why there's special teams gaffes. And then I've got a general manager who's ducking his bi-week, you know, press conference with you guys because he's evidently, you know, got his chest puffed because of one adequate draft class. Like, who's taking accountability for back-to-back debacle worth of seasons?
Yeah, well, here's the thing, and I understand where you're coming from, because I feel the same way.
Yeah,
and
like
there's
finger pointing going on here now.
Well, I also feel like that, you know, sometimes you run your course, right? But I don't think that Kevin Stefanski has lost the locker room. I don't think that they've tuned him out. They certainly haven't tuned out Jim Schwartz. Bubba Ventrone, well, that might be a different thing. That is a change they have to make. If there is one change that must happen, Bubba Ventrone cannot be back next year, because this is two of the 3 years he's been here that we have had to watch his special teams be awful. And there needs to be accountability for that. And then, like you alluded to yesterday, not a great answer. I posted it on my X because I couldn't believe he said what he said. And then also, too, when he was asked about Gage LeVard, and he's like, well, considering the state of our roster, that's the best option we got. I was a little surprised by those comments, because that was not a good press conference for him. I respect him speaking his mind, but that was not a good press conference for him. If he was auditioning for a leadership role in another organization, because he basically threw the front office under the bus. Here's what's ironic. Tennessee Titans, bad team, right? 1-11. They're good at special teams. The Cleveland Browns over the years, like even when they would have seasons like this, where they're winning 2, 3, 4, 5 games a year, their special teams unit was pretty good. Like, that was the one thing they could hang their hat on as a bad football team, was special teams. And so that's why I'm not buying what Bubba Ventrone is selling in that regard.
If Bubba's the only move that happens this offseason, then I'm just convinced, as back-to-back 3-win seasons, I'm just convinced that they weren't trying to win anyway.
Well, I think there's two more wins on the schedule.
The Bengals in Week 18 is the second one?
Yeah.
Because that actually, in an odd way, that if they start rolling here, there's an outside chance they could still be in play for the AFC North, and then Week 18 is an important game.
I know, but yeah, because they got to have this one on Sunday to get to that fourth win. I don't think they're beating the Bears. I certainly don't think that they're going to beat the Bills or the Steelers. I think that Week 18 game in Cincinnati is the one that they might be able to steal to get to that fifth win. I posted this yesterday because, you know, everyone wants to talk about Kevin Stefanski's future. I know there was some reporting about how in demand Kevin is going to be if he is indeed let go. This is not expected to be a quality hiring cycle as far as, you know, coaches go in the National Football League, which might be a motivating factor also for the Browns to stand pat. The candidate list isn't all that great. And if you're going to fire someone, you got to have someone better to replace them. You know, the old analogy, let's just say for the sake of this discussion, guys, Kevin Stefanski is a 6, okay, as a coach.
Okay.
Who's a 7, 8, or a 9 that's going to be out there available that's going to want this job here in Cleveland that you're going to get? And pose that same question on the general manager side, because I think that Kevin Stefanski's successor, it would be another unproven coordinator dude, and that just really doesn't excite me at this particular junction as well. I have no expectation they're going to win next season as well, and you're kind of setting this thing up for 2028, 2029, so that's why I'm kind of like, you might as well just stick with what you got here, see what the next draft looks like. Whatever the quarterback is and whatnot, and revisit this a year from now. But I don't know that beyond some, you know, coaching staff changes that things dramatically move forward. The other thing to keep in mind is Tommy Rees here next year. Does he get a college coaching job somewhere, either as a head coach or a coordinator? So we got to watch that.
Nick loves something you said. I don't know what you said.
Going like from one excuse to another. Like it's not a good head coaching cycle. It's not a good quarterback
class. Which
is what
we do with the quarterback thing,
Jim. I get to sit here and just enjoy the crap that sits in front of me, and they hide behind these excuses, and it drives me nuts because they're living in their own fears, is what it comes across.
And Daryl, on top of that, this is something that I griped about with the last quarterback discussion that we had last year. It's the idea like if you're just waiting for everything to be perfect, you're gonna be waiting a pretty damn long time. Like that's not how this works. Like you can't wait for the stars to align before you finally pull the trigger on anything.
Jonathan,
like,
I say every year there's a franchise quarterback in the draft, and everyone else in the NFL seems to identify them except for the Cleveland Browns. Like, I mean, that's just the reality of the situation. It's frustrating as hell, but that's just what it is. And do I trust that Andrew Berry's going to be the guy to find them? No, absolutely not. Okay, he can't draft wide receivers either. Offensive lineman, which they have to rebuild, that also not exactly his wheelhouse. Like they got some serious issues, and I have some serious doubts that Andrew Berry's the guy to fix them. But you know, the salary cap situation being what it is, the back end of the Watson contract being what it is, like there is the reality. I know this will shock some people that the Browns just might not be an attractive job this offseason. And well, I think one of the quotes in that piece, I forget who wrote it, about Kevin being attractive.
Jeremy Fowler.
And it was a great comment. Cleveland's a hard place to win. Lot of reason for that.
So isn't he going to use that, though? If I was Stefanski, there's a couple things I would do. I would use the Browns as an excuse, and then I would also I would use Deshaun Watson as an excuse, and I would bring up the list of quarterbacks, and I would try to parlay that into it was an unwinnable situation. Whether we believe that or not, that's what I would try to do if I were him.
And he did the impossible twice.
And
took him to the playoffs, won 11 games.
And it might just be enough to convince a team out there that there's just no winning with the Browns, they were set up to fail.
I agree with the Stefanski assessment out there, and I do believe. I know Nick Pedone is over there rolling his eyes, and he's frustrated.
He's smiling
with Kevin,
a lot. No, he's smiling a lot right now.
Here's what I'm going to tell you: Kevin will have a job tomorow if he's fired. He is not going to have a hard time finding a job.
Okay, but as a head coach or as an offensive coordinator,
either. I think he'll be a head coach.
Titans or like a good team.
He's not being the head coach.
I don't know what you got. I don't know what's going to be available this offseason, but he's going to have an opportunity to get one of those.
All right, let's
jobs.
Put it this way: Bill's job opens up. Sean McDermott gets fired.
Talk to him.
What's that?
Buffalo would totally talk to him.
Well, they'll talk to him. Is he getting that job as a head coach?
I think he could.
I think if you're a Bills fan, you're like, congratulations, we just hired the guy we replaced. We got the offensive version of the guy we just replaced.
I am a believer in Kevin Stefanski as a head coach. Do I find his post-game speeches the least bit inspiring? No, but I think he's a really good coach, and I think he could be successful if he had a quarterback to work with. And until he has that here, this is probably what you're going to get.
Yeah, but Daryl, didn't he do this to himself in a way? Because he signed up to coach a franchise quarterbacked by Baker Mayfield, and I get they thought that they could upgrade to our conversation there. They thought that Baker Mayfield was a six, and they could go get something better than that with Deshaun Watson, and it blew up, but then, like, you don't get to just continue to chase. Then they couldn't chase Joe Flacco out of town fast enough when he took him to the playoffs. So, like, to me, you don't get to keep just making these same excuses.
Have you looked at the offensive roster this year? Name me one wide receiver on this team you'd actually want to keep long term.
But then why is Andrew Berry safe?
Because
he made a draft night trade.
You're preaching to the choir. You're preaching to the choir on that one. I think Andrew Berry's done a terrible job as a GM. I think he's been awful. And I don't think one good draft class should save his bacon, but I think it's gonna. Just because I think something don't mean I believe it and agree with it, but this draft class is performing, and ownership can say, hey, look, he had draft picks and he did something with them. Whereas in the drafts were in Houston with the Texans. So, I think he's done a terrible job fortifying the offensive line, which has to be completely rebuilt next year. I think he's done a terrible job in the wide receiver room. The Amari Cooper trade was great. Outside of that, yeah, not so great. And none of his draft picks have amounted to anything in that room. He's done a good job identifying and extending players. Okay, great. Well, a lot of GMs do that. I think overall Andrew Berry's done a pretty terrible job. He inherited a team ready to win consistently, and he's a reason why they're unable to do so, and they're back to square one sitting here staring down a 3-4, and if they're lucky, maybe a 5-win season. Like, he is a big reason for that, and he shouldn't escape blame, but I think he's got it.
All right, downtown Daryl. He's a booze hound when he's downtown these days. Enjoy your night out. Get your dancing shoes all ready to go, and we'll talk to you later. Thank you.
Cheers, boys. Enjoy the football this weekend. Well, at least probably the football on Saturday.
Yeah, well, we'll do both. I'm going to enjoy both. I know it. All right. Just have a good feeling about this weekend in both accounts. All right. Daryl Ryder brought to you by Chapman Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. I also love the visual of Daryl being like, I'm going out. I got my dancing shoes. We got these shoes that are labeled just for dancing when I paint the town red, and we're going to make it be awesome.
What brand do you think those shoes are?
Something from DSW. All right, 216-474-0092. What was Bubba Ventrone's goal? We'll do that more next right here in the Fan.